Thank you for coming back, and thank you, Charlotte, for sharing for your Bible reading, and thanks the baby for entertaining, and thank you for such a great day today. We have a fine weather. I'm not sure whether you are in your car listening to us or walking on your walk, or like I said before, it doesn't matter to us. Now we are online, we are live stream, so you are portable. All right, if you like, you can put your TV in your backyard and enjoy the worship. All right, and now today we come to the very last part of this story of Jesus having a conversation with a woman, with someone who is different, someone who is unexpected, someone who is probably you and I in our life, we probably won't meet or will not take the intention to go close to. So as I said before, there are many layers within the scriptures. You can talk about evangelism, you can talk about Christ, you can talk about layers of theologies. But most important thing is that when I look at this, I would like to go through the part on Jesus' model, Jesus' style of evangelism. That's what we call reaching out to people. And Jesus has given us an illustration on how he came. And we came from this, we saw that Jesus started with a simple request of a water. Who would have thought that Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Emmanuel, and would come and request something from us? He never thought of that. So sometimes it allows us to illustrate to us when we go out and reach out to people, don't think too big of yourself. All right, Jesus humbled himself to come to people. That's the first illustration that was given to us. So from a simple water, asking for a drink, from someone, from a sinner, to the sinner, the woman, reply, requesting for, can you give me your water? And then to the woman challenging Jesus on the topic of worship, and to Jesus responding with, I am the Messiah. That actually totally changed the game of the woman's life, all right? And inspire the woman to go. And through all these things, what we saw was, it was mercy and grace all the way, from the very beginning to the end. It was God's reaching out to people, showing his love for people. That's what the whole theme was about. And it was trying to show us that how God was so passionate to reaching out to people. And today we come to the end of this. I'm going to give you some principles. Principles from the scriptures that has revealed to me, that I uncover. I hope that I can share with you and give you hopefully some inspiration or maybe some reminder as you go and reach your people during this Christmas festive season. And remember, next week is the first Sunday of Advent as we get towards to Christmas. So I hope that we are prepared to invite our friends or families or people who we might not expect to meet, or maybe people on your phone list that you would like to make, and to give them a call during this Christmas season and tell them about Jesus or send them a link to that. There's so many ways that we can reach out to people. All right, we should not be rigid. We should be flexible. And God has given us a creative mind. Be creative and find ways to reach out. All right. So when we look at evangelism, does evangelism actually looks like? All right, it looks something like this from my perspective, from what I see. Have you ever played a game Pass the Water? There are many ways that you can play this game. All right, the idea was that you have two ends of two buckets, A and B, and you got A, bucket A having full water, and then bucket B was empty. So the objective was to carry the water and to deliver the water to bucket B. So when you reach bucket B, and then whichever teams get the highest level of water, they win. All right? And one way in particular that I experienced was, like, you put your cup on the head. So what happened is that one team member will scoop the water from bucket and put on the head, and he or she will walk down to the team, to the next member of the team, and pour the water out onto someone. Now, you enjoy this, because I enjoy this during the hot summer day, all right? Now, what I'm trying to say is that it's just like passing the water. The objective is to meet the end, is to deliver the water. But in the way you see, on the way, you see water sprinkling as it travels. So when it travels, it nourishes the ground. It cools down the person who has sprinkled. So this is like evangelism. This evangelism is just like this. When we pass the water, Jesus has given us a drink. We have requested Jesus to give us his living water. As we have this living water, we are to pass on this water. This water is supposed to be alive and living. It's not supposed to be dormant and stagnant in our pocket or in our tummy. It's supposed to drift out, flow out to the rest of the world, to the people around us. So this, as you go through, even though not every single drop of water is going to reach destination that we intended to, but on the way, you will see God working in such a way that you will bless the people that come to touch on this water and come to nourish the ground, nourish the land, nourish the country that you go to. You know, it's such a fascinating way when you evangelize to people, when you reach out to people. Now we come to what we have today, uncover from the scripture today. I hope that I can run through this quickly. And I expect you, hopefully, that you can read through again and have a look and see whether the Holy Spirit inspires you in such a way. All right? There are seven basic principles I would like you to see in terms of your evangelism or reaching out. Now, when we talk about evangelism, we're not talking about creating events. All right? We're not talking about creating a dinner or a barbecue that where you go back, you call this evangelism. That's not evangelism. Now, evangelism has a specific goal, like what I showed you just now. You have to carry the water. You have to pass on the water. All right? So what do you pass on the line? How you do, how you react, what your attitude was like, it all depends on how you evangelize. All right? The very first thing on the scripture that I found was the object of evangelism. Object of reaching out. Who do you reach out to? What do you reach out to? The focus, according to the scripture that I found, is always people. It's always people. People like you, people like me. People that might caught you by surprise. All right? I got this so many times. All right? Whenever, especially when I'm on a plane or I'm on a bus. People just sit next to you and you have that conversation, you have that. It was a surprise. You know? And you should wonder whether, should I talk to this person? Oh, he smells, he stinks. Oh, nah, he doesn't look the same. We don't speak the same language. Has it ever occurred to you that people that are around you, have you ever come across people who are different, who smell different, who act different, who probably hostile towards you? Remember, this woman was hostile to Jesus. But Jesus did not mind. Every single challenges, every single question she put to Jesus, Jesus just respond, you know, in his gentleness, all right, in his kindness, in his mercy. That's how she react to that. That brings us to think about how we respond to people. The focus is always about people. It's never be about fulfilling, accomplish the task. Remember the pass of water, all right? The objective is to bring, our objective is to fill the other bucket. But not all the water will also go through. All right? But the focus is the person, the blessings that brought to people. So that's the first objective that we need to think about when we evangelize. Is it about the people or is it about fulfilling a task or fulfilling an event? Sometimes we're so hard up about what we do. All right? Everything goes wrong. When things go wrong, we got agitated. Isn't it? But remember, always remind yourself, it's always about the people. That's what the church is about. We are here about the people, about the community. It's never been about how great our church is, how our building is, how good our live stream is. Of course, we all want all those things. But remember, the first thing in evangelism is always about people. If it's not for people, Jesus would not come. Isn't it? I don't think Jesus would come for a building. Jesus will come for your speed train, or your McDonald's. I don't think Jesus will come for that. I believe Jesus came because of us. While we are still sinners, he came. The second principle, before we go into that, you look at the comparison between Nicodemus and Samaritan. All right? It gives you a focus of what an idea of what Jesus has in mind, what God has in mind. Take this to heart because this is God's heartbeat. Why? Because God do not choose just Nicodemus. and do not choose only the poor people. Right? Some people have two extreme. Some people go and reach out to the rich. Some people reach out to the poor. I think it's not that. We are supposed to reach out to the rich and the poor, the elite and outcast, broken people or well people. We need to reach out to every single person. The gospel is for everyone. So come to point two. Now, when you reach out to these people, bear in mind also you need to go to have with passion. Remember, it's all about people. How can you not have passion for people if you reach out to people? So when you reach out to people with passion, what sort of passion, how do you trigger that? Like, say, I want to repeat again. I want to say it again. We don't fake it until we make it. You got that? You don't fake it until you make it. All right? Earlier on in my early stage of my ministry, I have a veil on me, I must confess. Because my task is to fulfill, to sort of put a checkbox and fulfill the task that I want to do. It's not about people. So when I reach out to people, I sort of have that kind of hatred in me. Sort of without aware that I was angry with people. Why don't you believe in Jesus? Why don't you do things my way? Why don't you do things like the Jesus way, according to what the Bible says? You know, I had that problem before. That was not passion. It was the passion. That passion that I used to have was about myself. It was all about me. I'm not talking about that kind of passion. Passion about people means you have a passion in Christ. You have the passion. Where does this passion come from? This passion comes from your gratitude towards God's love. You come from the gratitude. You are so thankful. You know that it's not that you can go. It's a matter of you can't thank Jesus enough for what he has done for you. Do you have that feeling? Have you experienced that salvation? This is what the woman experienced. This is what the old woman experienced the moment Jesus said, I am. Remember? When Jesus said, I am the Messiah that you're waiting for, you are looking for, you're dreaming for. I am. The God of great I am revealed to this woman. That gratitude. I was not there. But I can tell you my own story. I was there when God reached out to me. During the darkest moment, during the moment when I was so hopeless, when I asked out to God and asked God, God, can you, I don't know who you are, but can you give me a second chance? Nobody taught me what to do. Nobody tell me I should pray like this. Nobody tell me I should go to the church. Nobody tell me I need to read my Bible and say my prayer in the right way. No. But God just reached out to me the way I was. Just the way that this woman was. And what did she do? That passion has to be that gratitude. She must have felt that same gratitude that I had. All right? Because of that gratitude, it just motivated me, driven me to the church, driven me, I want to read the Bible, driven me, I want to pray. I want to join the cell group. I want to reach out to people. And this woman just dropped the most precious thing she had on that day, the water jar. All right? It was a very important thing when she left the water jar behind, because most likely it's unlike us today. We have a lot of water bottle in the house when you open up your pantry. But most probably in each household, you have most probably only one. And she came a long way. And she ditched that and went to tell people. What motivated her to ignite that passion of her? Her gratitude towards God's love was revealed through Jesus Christ. Isn't it? She was so thankful. Have you ever come across that kind of passion that was ignited let's say if you have have you ever come across an experience whereby somebody did something to you and you are so appreciate about the thing that has been done to you that you want to thank that person on and on, on and on, on and on. Sometimes even to an extent that you feel ashamed, you feel embarrassed not to thank him or her, isn't it? Have you ever come across that experience? That is the experience of the passion that I'm talking about. That is the kind of passion that driven this girl, this woman, to actually go and ditch something important and put everything that is precious to her and move forward to people. Then we come to... Can you move to the next page, please? And we come to theme three. Sorry about the hiccup. So we try to get better at this so that you bear with us and so that the IT team can work these things out. Now we come to the theme that this is got to do with what do I say? Some people might say, oh, my character is that I am a quiet person. I don't really talk too much. I don't know what to say. All right. Look at the story again. What is the theme? The theme is about, not about you, not about me. It's about how God loved the world that He sent His Son. And God sent to bless, not to condemn. That is the key story and that is the key theme to that. If you ever reach out to people and you have never shared this before, and you only share a meal with somebody and talk about your daily life, you have never evangelized to people. At least that's from my perspective. All right, you're making a friend, yes, but you're not reaching out. You're not reaching out with the gospel. All right, reaching out with the gospel must have a theme. So this is simple. We have been talking about this for thousands of years. All right, and you look at the woman. What happened to that? What happened to her? The theme that she said, could this be Christ? When she ditched everything and she invited people, the only thing, what did she know? No training, no Bible studies, no church to go. And all she did was ever say, could this be Christ? The theme, the topic is always about Christ. It's always about Jesus Christ, not about you. It's about God has called. God has not called us to show people how good we are, but to show how good He is. God has commanded not for us to show the world what we can do, but to tell the world that what Jesus has done. That is the objective, that is the theme. So if what this woman had happened to this woman was that it was her encounterment. She got no theology background like I do. She never done any study probably. But all she knew was that her encounter with Jesus. That's the story of Christ with her. Do you have that story? Do you have that encounterment with Jesus? I think we should have, right? We should have, church have been training you to do personal devotional time every day. Are you keeping up with that? Because that devotion time is a very important time where you meet God, you encounter God in your own personal way. And that is your story that you can tell in daily to people. I can tell you what happened to me this morning as I was doing my devotion before I come to church. You know, I can share with you what I experienced. All right, it might be big, it might be small, it might be something common. It doesn't matter. But the common thing is that I meet with my Father every day. Are you meeting with your Father? Do you wake up in the morning and say that, oh, thank God, that appreciation for Father. Father, I thank you for to allow me to live another day. Do you know that it's not our privilege to be able to wake up another day? All right, it's not a promise that you will wake up tomorrow though. But God, the theme is always about Christ. It's not about what we do. It's not about who we are. It's about always about Jesus Christ. And number 4.1 is the power. Now, this power, where I come, I'm going to make it clear, this power is not yours. You have to go evangelize to God with the power of God. You know that this is the work of God, not yours, not mine. And look at the Bible tells us that it's not by our strength, of our wisdom, or how good we are, how well we do things, but it's all by the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Eventually, every single time as you go and reach out to people, talk to people, and you want to share the gospel with people, always bear in mind, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. You know that God is at work. When you share the power, when you share the name of Jesus, do you know that you are sharing, you are exercising the power of the gospel? I can still remember when I first came to Christ, the first thing that ever come to me was that, not like I say, no one ever taught me what I should do. But one thing I need to do, somehow something in me and tell me, say, hey, you need to pick up the call and call your mom. At that point in time, I haven't been spoken with my mom for years. After I left home, I never called her, never got in touch. That was so how sour our relationship was back then. And then one person, I caught something in me tell me, oh, I got a buddy that I used to drink with. I used to spend time with. I spent 6 months with that fella. and inviting him to church. That's all. Share my encounter, what happened to me. 6 months. And he came. Not because I persist, because the Holy Spirit is in work. The God is at work at all times. I don't know what I say, what I did. I can't remember. And guess what? Today, he's the pastor serving in New Zealand. Sometimes I just felt jealous. I said, oh man, God picked me because he wants you. So it's just a set. It was a joke that we used to joke every time we met. Then the next thing that we need to look at, we see the power. This power came from, where did I get this from? They came. Like I say, the woman only said, all she did was say, come. And they came. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, a woman married for 5 times, would you listen to him? You will. Then you have the joy. Now, where is this joy? This joy is not something that I can describe to you. Unless you are in the mission, unless you are in reaching out to people, you never experience that kind of joy. Well, I'm not talking about a joy that you have over your food. And what Jesus used as an illustration, he talks about food. What is food here? Food means to, it could be, it fills our tummy when I'm hungry, right? But especially, you feel the joy and contentment when the food is good. Yeah? So church, God was saying, Jesus was saying that my food is to do the will of him who sent me to finish this work. Now, what he was saying is that my food, Jesus meant that the food that is fulfilling is to fulfill the work of the Father. When we fulfill the work of the Father, what is the work of the Father to us? It's to reach out to people. That's at God's heart. When we reach out to that, and God has given us that Jesus has shared that is the joy and contentment and the fulfillment that you have that you can never experience from anywhere else. Now, by the way, I just want to tell you, most of us, I hope that you know what this verse is about. This is the great commission that Jesus has given us. It's a great commission, it's a great commandment, but it's not a great suggestion. All right? So we're supposed to go. That is a commissioning. Now, do you know that at this commissioning, there is a promise? And the promise of God be with us always to the end of time. Do you know how this promise is so important? Now you've got to ask yourself, why do I believe in God? Because I want to be with God. Yes? Now, God is telling you, you go and reach out and make disciples of all nations. I'll be with you to the end of time. That's the promise. You want to experience the existence of God, the presence of God, the indwell of God, you have to reach out to people. Because it's in the course of that, you see the gospel being preached, you see the power being revealed, you see the joy of God being come. This is the joy I'm talking about. Have you experienced that before? Unless you have reached out to that. I can't describe how joyful I am to see some people came to Christ. To see if a hopeless sinners who came to Christ then become the leaders of the church. God allowed me to experience that. Can you understand my joy? You can't. Unless you enjoy it. And guess what? God wants you to personally enjoy this. Are you in this or not? And there's a season, talking about right time. Now, this is a hurdle that we need to go through. The hurdle of I don't have time. When's the right time? Probably right now is not the moment. It's not a good moment. It's always back to us. It's always back to me. If we don't get this principle right, we'll never reach out to people. All right, effectively, winning soul, winning people for God. Now, Jesus said, especially used the illustration of 4 months. 4 months, he was talking, making a contrast between the natural harvesting of crops and the spiritual harvest. All right, making a difference. So what he was trying to tell us here is, like, our natural crop harvesting need to take 4 months. It's going to take another 4 months. If you do it too early, it's not ripe. If you do it too late, it's too ripe. But for spiritual harvesting, no, there's no such thing for that. There's no such thing for season or not season. There's no such, it's right now. The command from Jesus was, instruction from Jesus is right now. It is right now. All right? The harvest is right now. We need to harvest. All right? So he gives us that illustration to tell us, as Paul has mentioned, whether it's in season or out of season. So what he was saying is that, in season means a favorable situation. out of season means unfavorable situation. So what is unfavorable and unfavorable, favorable and unfavorable situation? Favorable situation is like we are at church, all right? Everything looks fine. All situation is fine, all right? You meet a close friend, and then you have a drink, you have a meal together, and then you talk about Jesus. Those are the favorable, just like Nicodemus with Jesus. Those are favorable situations. But unfavorable situation are probably situations whereby it's hostile. Probably situation like, you know, the Jesus with the Samaritan woman. It was hostile all the way, but mercy all the in return. All right? So that's what Jesus was talking about. Especially Paul, when say whether it's in season or not season, favorable or not unfavorable, it doesn't matter. The gospel has to be reached because you have to share. You have to prepare yourself to share at any time. So are you preparing yourself right now? How are you preparing? I get so asked so many times, oh, Pastor Jimmy, when I go out, when's the right time? What do I share? You already know what to share. Because if you don't know what to share, most probably you have not been saved. I know it's very harsh for me to tell you this, all right? But because you were saved by the gospel, you understood the gospel, then you receive, you believe. Can you share your exact experience to somebody else? Don't add any more if you don't understand. Share only your encounter. That's all Jesus requests of us, nothing more. If you want trainings, give me a call. Right? I'm a qualified teacher for training people for evangelism. So I can train you for that. But it's going to take time though. Right? You need to invest yourself so that in season or out of season, you are able to evangelize to people. And finally, the labor. And we talk about money, money, money all the time, right? We talk about wages, like the wages. Now the wages here talk about, it's not about money. It's talking about a reward. And the reward is eternal life. The reward is that we have that togetherness of joy. And that what this label here talking about is teamwork. You team up with God. From what I see, to be able to team up with God, that's a bonus. That is the way it is. And you team up with your brother and sisters. You come together and sow and reap. The sower referred here is Jesus, and the reapers are us, the disciples. So at the end of the day, when you see that Jesus said others have done the hard work, these others here is talking about Jesus and the prophet and the people before us. So, and in a nutshell, what he's trying to do in the labor, hey, you might go out to labor and harvest, but God has already done all the work. All the groundwork has been done, all has been prepared, God has gone ahead of us. And what do we need to do now? We just need to diligently harvest it. We just need to be there. And share your story. How hard can that be? You don't even need to do any groundwork. Remember, when you look around you, all right, especially in our community, our Ringwood community, if you go to Eastland Shopping Mall, I tell you, every single person you look, I believe God has already have some work in them. And is waiting for us, waiting for the gospel to reach them. So church, when you reach out to people, when you evangelize people, remember this basic principle. I hope that this principle will help you to win people for God. Remember, when you go up, it's always go, 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 focus, focus, focus on Christ, on the people. And finally, you see from one woman to the whole town, to many people come to Christ, they acknowledge. And I want you to focus on the Savior of the world. This Savior of all the world tells me that these people don't just believe. They acknowledge and they know that this gospel has to be traveled, has to be given to the world, not just their world. So what are we doing today, church? As we come with all these things, we come with so many tools today, more than what they had. Or what are we doing with this gospel in us? Are we feeling shame about it? Or are we feeling excited that we are able to share with people? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your gospel, the opportunity to receive your mercy, the opportunity to receive your grace, the opportunity to be able to understand or experience your love in a personal way. That today we are proudly to be able to stand here and make a stand and share your name and share your story and share our story with you, with the world that around us. God, you have sent us the Holy Spirit to prepare us. What else do we need to be prepared besides submitting ourselves in gratitude and in love? And Father, I just ask that your Spirit will come unto us, for everybody, every person on the screen, that you will touch us in such a great way that you want us to reach out to the person next to us. You want us to reach out to our neighbors, the people that we meet on the street, or people that we have not been calling to. Maybe it's just another brother from the church who has been feeling broken today. And Father, I just ask that your Spirit will touch each and every one of us, knowing that this Christmas festive season coming is not another just festival for us to enjoy, but also for us to experience your existence, your presence, that your love for the world. And it's our responsibility to reach out, to use, apply all these principles in our lives so that we can apply it to ourselves and also to reach out to people who have not heard your gospel. And Father, we have so many people that we want to reach. You know our heart, but you just don't know how. I hope today's scriptures will inspire many of us to be able to start exercising on all these principles so that we can be an effective soul winner for you. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to partake in your ministry and to allow us to see you firsthand and knowing that you are with us at all times. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.